100 Word Stories.
Hello, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. The weekly challenge this week was anonymous. And, well, sometimes it takes people a little extra time to get a story in. Sing, over in Melbourne and Singapore and all sorts of exotic places over there. He was in Bali recently. That had to have been cool. Well, he's gotten so caught up with the magnificence and beauty out there that it took him a few extra minutes to get things done, and, well, it came in after I posted the show. So those of you out there who have been waiting for Sing, take a break from your burning down Oakland or bashing people's heads on the concrete or shooting them, and let's go ahead and listen to Sing's story. You'll enjoy it, and hopefully afterwards you won't want to go back to burning down Oakland or bashing heads against man, it's a crazy world. Oh well, here's Sing.
The Jet Age Geomancer by Chris Mooney Singh. Mr. Bagua was an anonymous in-transit mystery, a Jet Age geomancer. Morgan, one of his best clients, was about to collect him, bring him to the office and send him on home. Shall I fix him lunch? He's between flights. Will there be time? Cheryl worried. Morgan felt for the Singapore dollar given by Bagua years back, the talisman that had started their luck. It still had embossed flowers and lion crest reversed, both within their octagons, their baguas. I'm worried, she said. Here, flipping her the coin, relax. Bagua has always been true to his name, hasn't he? The new rising tower had 8 sides. Morgan was terribly proud of it. Very good, the old Chinese said, approving. Put goldfish fountain here, Bagua pointed as they passed through the lobby. Then they rode the elevator to the 88th floor. The property developer's open plan space was noisily productive. Bagua sniffed. Put work cubicles in 8s, he said. In Morgan's office, Bagua unscrolled the feng shui grid, dividing fame, marriage, children, travel, career, health, wealth, and wisdom. All looked fine except for the children's square. Future leaking down a toilet, Bagua sniffed. Morgan already knew. What can I do? Mr. Bagua had fixes for everything. Sometimes simple shifting of furniture, placing an octagonal mirror above doorways for protection, or mumbling Om Mani Padme Hum inside cupboards and hallways to flush away bad energies. His injunctions were, no goldfish in bedroom. Give you sinus allergy. Suck out your chi. No bookshelf behind desk. D sharp knives. People gossiping behind your back. Keep phone, computer in northwest of room. Keep picture of tortoise or mountain behind for support. Build confidence. As for child-parent issues, he had redecorating strategies. But would Christo and Christy, his twin sister, play along? Morgan had always wanted a big family, but after the twins' cesarean birth, Cheryl couldn't risk more kids. Thus, they overindulged their offspring, hoping that love would rebound tenfold one day like a maturing insurance policy. Instead, privilege begat poison. Christo had had scrapes with the police, and Christy just slothed along for the ride. They parted away as much time and parental allowance as possible. Christy's friends were her sidekicks in excess, while Christo's cuties became expensive fashion projects. Morgan was worried, but had faith.
"I go residence now," Bagua said. "Time short, must do my work."
"Show me Christa room,"
Mr. Bagua asked. Cheryl had trouble with his clipped English, but thinking her son the problem brought Bagua directly into the disaster area of his bedroom. A mobile lampshade reflected a hooded figure with raised swords slicing through swirling snakes. It cast dizzy patterns on red walls. There were heavy metal and zombie movie posters and a mural of phantasmagoric creatures entwined on the wall. Whether possessed or soul-abducted by aliens, Bagua knew Christa had definitely turned into some kind of she-wolf with nocturnally raging hormones.
"Block chi, too much yang, poison arrow everywhere."
In a rush, Mr. Bagua pointed to the clutter and violent iconography.
"Remove. Need happy colour, green wall, pink bed quilt, wind chime, hang crystal."
Strange, thought Cheryl, but noted everything, liking most the mounting of a parental portrait somewhere to exert gentle authority. Meanwhile, Christa, number two room, quite yin and girly, was to be strengthened with sky blue walls, sporty pictures, a stripy bedspread, and the dressing table mirror was to be removed or shrouded at night. Satisfied, Bagua looked at his watch.
"Please, have some lunch, Mr. Bagua," Cheryl implored. "Sorry, in transit, must go airport now."
Months passed, and Mr. Bagua, the jet-aged geomancer from here or there, was on a follow-up visit to his Australian clients and to collect checks. He had a string of similar rich clients in neighbouring countries. Morgan sent the limousine to bring Bagua to the Octagon Tower.
"Business good?"
asked Bagua.
"Yes, business very good. You and wife are healthy?"
"We are both fine, Mr. Bagua."
"Family problem okay now?"
"Well, yes," Morgan started. "Christy is more confident, and Christo, well, he stays home at night."
Then Morgan's phone rang.
"They have?"
"Ask them to come up." Morgan sat in uncomfortable silence. The patient wall clock continued its sluggish story. Finally, Christo arrived. He had transformed to combed hair, lime green shirt and cream slacks. Greeting Bagua, he sat attentively, crossing his legs. Then Christy burst in, a born-again goth girl yelling at her mobile.
"Listen, dude, no one's messing with my band."
"Christy," Morgan interrupted.
"Whatever, creep,"
and ended her call.
"Hey, Bagua, very cool redecoration job you did. I put in some of Christo's old stuff too."
Mr. Bagua, usually inscrutable and unshakable, now looked slightly embarrassed.
Maybe you two better swap room, okay?"